We ended chapter 27. David has moved all of his folks and everything over to the area of the Philistines. And in the area of Philistines, he's at Gath. And just outside of Gath, in the little area, right on the border, there is a town called Ziklag. And the king of Gath has given that town to David. Now, in the future, whenever David becomes king, it will become part of the promised land instead of the part of the property of the Philistine land. But, be that as it may, it has been given to David, and all of his family has moved there. And the way that David has gained the favor of the king to do that is that he has been providing for his family and everybody by coming on the way of Sur and coming from Sur all the way to Egypt and attacking these families that are Egyptian. Well, they're not all Egyptians, but they're living in this area because this is Egypt all the way over to this Wadi Egypt. This is Egypt all the way over, and they've been attacking, and that's where they've been plundering. And so the king of Gath thinks, hey, everything's well. He's told me that he's actually attacking way down here in the southern part of Judah, and he's become odious to his own people, so they won't accept him, so he can help me. Well, at the end of chapter 27, it really is, that story's not complete without the first verse of chapter 28. But before I go to the first verse of chapter 28, I want to go over to 1 Chronicles chapter 12, because there a record is told of the men who came to join David at Ziklag after they moved there. It's 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, and it says the following. The following men joined David at Ziklag while he was hiding from Saul, son of Kish. They were among the warriors who fought beside David in battle. All of them were expert archers, and they could shoot arrows or sling stones with their left hand as well as their right. They were all relatives of Saul from the tribe of Benjamin. Their leaders were Ahaziah, son of Shammah, from Gibeah, his brother Joash, his second in command. These were the other warriors, Jaziel and Pelet, sons of Azmaveth, Barakah, Jehu from Anathol, Ishmael from Gibeon, a famous warrior and among the 30, Jeremiah, Jezezeel, Johanan, Jozabad from Giradara, Eluzeah, Jeremoth, Beliel, Shemara, and Shephathath from Hephram. Elkanah, Isha, Azirel, Josier, Ashobim, who were Korah. Well, also, as this is occurring, David writes a couple of new songs. And I want to just read those songs to you also. The first one is Psalms number 140 that he writes. And he writes about this time, and he gives it to the choir director, and it's a Psalm of David. Psalms 140, verse 1 says, O Lord, rescue me from evil people. Protect me from those who are violent, those who plot evil in their hearts and stir up trouble all day long. Their tongues sting like a snake. The venom of a viper drips from their lips. O Lord, keep me out of the hands of the wicked. Protect me from those who are violent, for they are plotting against me. The proud have set a trap to catch me. They have stretched out a net. They have placed traps all along the way. I said to the Lord, You are my God. Listen, O Lord, to my cries for mercy. O sovereign Lord, the strong one who rescued me, you protected me on the day of battle. Lord, do not let evil people have their way. Do not let evil schemes succeed, or they will become proud. Let my enemies be destroyed by the very evil they have planned for me. Let burning coals fall down on their heads. Let them be thrown into the fire or into watery pits from which they can't escape. Don't let liars prosper here in our land. Cause great disasters to fall on the violent. But I know the Lord will help those they persecute. He will give justice to the poor. Surely righteous people are praising your name. The godly will live in your presence. And then he also writes the song we find in Psalms 141, a psalm of David also. O Lord, I am calling to you. Please hurry. Listen when I cry to you for help. Accept my prayer as incense offered to you and my upraised hands as an evening offering. Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. Don't let me drift towards evil or take part in acts of wickedness. Don't let me share in the delicacies of those who do wrong. Let the godly strike me. It will be a kindness. If they correct me, it is soothing medicine. Don't let me refuse it, but I pray constantly against the wicked and their deeds. When their leaders are thrown down from a cliff, the wicked will listen to my words and find them true. Like rocks brought up by a plow, the bones of the wicked will lie scattered without burial. I look to you for help. O sovereign Lord, you are my refuge. Don't let them kill me. Keep me from the traps they have set for me, from the snares of those who do wrong. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, but let me escape. Two songs written at this time at Ziklag. Now, thinking that David has destroyed his future in Israel, we find David as the bodyguard of the king of Gath, Achish. Chapter 28, verse 1. Now, it came about in those days that the Philistines gathered their armed camps for war to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, "Know assuredly that you will go out with me in the camp, you and your men." David said to Achish, "Very well, you shall know what your servant can do." So Achish said to David, "Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life." Well, by this time in the storyline, Saul is approaching his 40th year as king of Israel. David is near his 1 year and 4 months of living with the Philistines. Within days, Saul will be dead. David will be the king of Judah. The nation of Israel will be divided, with Ishbosheth, Saul's son, becoming the king of the 11 tribes, not including Judah. With David's tenure with Achish, Achish trusts David and makes him his permanent bodyguard. At the same time, the five lords of the Philistines, meaning the five kings of the five cities, Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Ekalon, Gath, what they've done is they began to get the support of of their armies and put everything together. And they are planning and making a decision to attack Israel, and specifically attack King Saul. David and his men agreed to go with Achish to fight against Israel. What a decision. David agreed to be the servant of Achish. Okay. If there was a need for a chapter break, verse 3 would have been the best place for the chapter break, after verse number 2, because that's where it should have happened. It seems that the following passage picks up with a different writer. Perhaps the record of Nathan, which had been written because God was because Gad was most likely with David. Nathan, we know, is up with Saul. And so it looks like this would be a change because of the way the wording goes. It was Gad who told the story of David and while they were in Moab, while they were in Moab and told him to return to the land of Judah, it seems that Gad was with David and Nathan was with Saul. The writer begins to tell us the end of Saul's reign and David's transition as the king of Israel. It will take just a few short days and months for David to become the king of Israel from this point. He will be the king of Judah in the divided kingdom for 2 years, and the transition to be the king of all Israel happens in his third year. So he's going to be the king of Israel, of Judah soon, 2 years just the king of Judah, and in his third year become the king over all of Israel. Now in this passage, in chapter 28, verse 3, Saul is in a pickle and he needs a word from the Lord, and Saul seeks a witch for that word. Chapter number 28, verse number 3. Now Samuel was dead, and all of Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. And Saul had removed from the land those who were mediums and spiritists. So the Philistines gathered together and came and camped at Shunem. And Saul gathered all of Israel and together and camped in Gilboa. When Saul saw the camp of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart trembled greatly. When Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dream or by Urim or by the prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, seek for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. All right. The point that Samuel was dead and had been buried at Ramah is just an introduction to this passage. However, it shows that a change in the writers has been made from one telling the story of David and Gath to one telling the story with Saul, just reminding us what the other one had said about Samuel back in chapter 25. We must remember all Scripture is firsthand testimony of the person who saw and experienced the events, unless the testimony is given to the writer directly from the Lord, such as was the case with Moses recording the story of the book of Genesis, or Luke, who knew the Lord Jesus and was traveling with Paul, who knew the Lord Jesus, and told us that he investigated and interviewed eyewitnesses to record the gospel by his name, the book of Luke, in the New Testament. Therefore, the writings had to come from the chronicles of Nathan that we have already mentioned and proved to be present at in that time. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 29 tells us that. The Philistines had arrived at Shunem. Shunem was in a tribal area of Issachar. And in order to arrive at that campsite, the Philistines had to travel over 80 miles across the tribal area of Dan and possibly the eastern edge of Ephraim and split the tribal area of West Manasseh in half. And Saul and the Israelite armies was right there also on Mount Gilboa. It was a hill on the side of the valley of Jezreel. Now, this is the Jezreel in Issachar that we're talking about, not the Jezreel down in the land of Judah. From there, Saul could see the Philistines at Shunem in the valley. Saul saw the camp of the Philistines and knew that he needed a word from the Lord. No matter what Saul did, the Lord did not answer. Saul did not know it, but Saul's time was up. The Lord had death planned for Saul, and it would happen on the next day. The high priest could not speak for the Lord. The Urim did not answer from the Lord. The prophet, which would have included Nathan and the prophets, had no word from the Lord. So Saul sought a word from someone forbidden to practice in the promised land, not by Saul, but by the Lord, back in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 12. And in the last few years, Saul had evidently tried to appease the Lord by obeying his command to rid the land of mediums and witchcraft. But that night, Saul visited the witch at Endor. The writer tells us of Saul's desire to speak with the dead. How could he would have known what Saul asked for unless he was with Saul? Nathan, the writer, must have heard Saul's request with his own ears because he was with Saul and saw what happened next. Verse number 8, chapter 28. Then Saul disguised himself by putting on other clothes and went, he and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, conjure up for me, please, and bring up for me whom I shall name to you. Nathan the prophet must have been one of those two men with Saul. The other was probably Abner, by the way, his commander. Or it could have been another priest. We don't know. But one of them probably had to be Nathan, because he's an eyewitness to tell us what happened here. We are not sure what Saul expected. Neither are we sure what the witch expected. But because all witchcraft is fake, the witch probably had an accomplice somewhere behind a curtain or whatever in her house to help with the deception, as they all do. Saul was only expecting to hear the voice of the man he wanted conjured up. Surely the witch was ready to provide the voice of a man to conjure up. But the witch was careful with Saul because she knew the law. We are told of Saul's promise to protect the witch, verse number 9. But the woman said to him, "Behold, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off those who are mediums and spiritists from the land. Why are you laying a snare for my life to bring about my death?" Saul vowed to her by the Lord, saying, "As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing." Now Saul was disguised as someone besides the king. Nathan, if he was in fact there, and I believe he was dressed in his regular clothing. If the third person was a priest, as I suspect he was, or Abner, they did not have on priestly garbs, but they had on regular clothes. So the witch would not have known any better, but Saul promised to protect the woman from Saul's own command. But that might be a promise that he cannot fulfill, because he says that he's doing it according as the Lord lives. He swears by the Lord. The Lord may not allow that, but we don't know. And so the woman will ask whom he wants to conjure up, and Saul requested to speak to Samuel. Verse number 11. Then the woman said, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" And he said, "Bring up Samuel for me." And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, "You have deceived me, for you are Saul." The king said to her, "Do not be afraid, but what do you see?" And the woman said to Saul, "I see a divine being coming up out of the earth." And he said to her, "What is his form?" And she said, "An old man is coming up, and he is wrapped with a robe." And Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground and did homage. In Saul's hopeless despair, he wanted to speak with Samuel one more time. Samuel was dead in his place of peaceful rest, waiting to be resurrected at the resurrection of the Messiah still to come. Saul had not spoken to Samuel in more than 37 or 38 years since he tore Samuel's garment and Samuel walked away after killing Agag, the Amalekite king. But Samuel had been a friend to Saul since their youth. But the friendship was broken when Saul disobeyed the Lord's command. When Saul mentioned the name of Samuel, the witch did not have to do any of her normal humbo, jumbo, yumbo, dubbo stuff. Samuel immediately began to come in view. And when she saw him, she immediately knew that Saul had deceived her with his disguise, and she was fearful for her life. Neither she nor her accomplice, which had to have been there, had time to do any of their regular mumbo jumbo routine. What was happening was real. To her fear, she was able to describe the Samuel, and Saul knew it was him. Samuel was not quite about coming up. Saul's message from Samuel was quick, on the heels of his arrival. Verse number 15. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" And Saul answered, "I am greatly distressed, for the Philistines are waging war against me, and God has departed from me and no longer answers me, either through prophets or by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may make known to me what I should do." Samuel said, "Why then do you ask me, since the Lord has departed from you and has become your adversary? The Lord has done accordingly as he spoke through me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, to David." As you did not obey the Lord and did not execute His fierce wrath on Amalek, so the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also give over Israel along with you into the hands of the Philistines. Therefore, tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. Indeed, the Lord will give over the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. The Lord may be slow to avenge, folks, those who sin against Him, but He will avenge those who need vengeance. It took the Lord 38 years to bring the punishment on Saul. Anytime during those 38 years, Saul could have gone to the remaining Amalekites and finished the task assigned by the Lord, but he did not. No, he chased David instead, a righteous man from here to there, but he never found time to complete the command. It was never too late to do what the Lord had told you to do. It's never too late to do. The Lord tells you in the Scriptures the things that you're supposed to do, it's never too late to do them. And He will wait until the time is up for you too. Time is up for Saul. Samuel delivered the same message from the Lord that he did 38 years before. This time, he tells more of the story in this telling circling through. Saul's sons, who were in the army, would be dead with Saul when the battle occurs. The Israelites will lose the battle to the Philistines. David will be king. With Samuel's message heard, we come to Saul's reaction to Samuel's message, verse number 20. Then Saul immediately fell full length upon the ground and was very afraid because of the words of Samuel. Also, there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no food all day and all night. The woman came to Saul and saw that he was terrified, and she said to him, "Behold, your maidservant has obeyed you. I have taken my life in my hand and have listened to your words which you spoke to me. So now also, please listen to the voice of your maidservant and let me set a piece of bread before you that you may eat and have strength when you go on your way." But he refused and said, "I will not eat." However, his servants, the two that were with them, together with the woman, urged him, and he listened to them. So he arose from the ground and he sat on the bed. The woman had a fattened calf in the house, and she quickly slaughtered it. And she took flour and kneaded it and baked unleavened bread from it. And she brought it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then they arose and went away that night. Saul was at the house of the witch for several hours. In order to feed him and the two men with him, she had to kill the calf, cook the meat, make the bread, cook it, unleavened, of course, because she did not have time to let it rise, and she fed Saul and the two men. Saul was in deep despair and did not want to eat, but he was finally convinced. It was Saul's last meal. No doubt he knew it would be so. After eating, Saul and the two men went back to the camp of Gilboa, about 7 miles away. No doubt, because of the distance, Saul and the two would arrive back at camp just about at daybreak. Now, our writer now backs up in time to tell us what is going on in the Philistine camp. You got that? Okay. Because remember, we can't tell the stories that are on top of each other during the same timeline together, so we have to put them in the end, but we're backing up. Nathan probably also told this story of Saul with the witch Endor. Probably Gad is probably telling us the story because he was with David. He tells how the Philistines, because Gad is with David and the Philistines in the Philistine camp just a little ways from Mount Gilboa. So Gad is probably telling this story here because he's with David, and he tells how the Philistines began to mistrust David and the Philistines complained about David. Chapter 29, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together all the armies to Aphek, while the Israelites were camping by the spring, which is in Jezreel. And the Lord of the Philistines were proceeding by hundreds and by thousands, and David and his men were proceeding on in the rear with Achish. Then the commander of the Philistines said, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" And Achish said to the commanders of the Philistines, "Is this not David, the servant of Saul, of the king of Israel, who has been with me these days? Or rather these years? I have found no fault in him from the day he deserted to me to this day." But the commanders of the Philistines were angry with him, and the commanders of the Philistines said to him, "Make the man go back, that he may return to his place where you have assigned him, and do not let him go down to battle with us, or in the battle he may come become an adversary to us. For with what could this man make himself acceptable to the Lord? Would it not be with the heads of these men? Is this not David, of whom they sing in the dances, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. The Philistines have moved the camp from Shunem closer to the Israelites. The new camp was at Aphek, right next to Gilboa. They had gathered and aligned themselves at Shunem, got together, organized, and now they're headed to Aphek, right next to Gilboa. And there the Philistines noticed that David and his men were with Achish, and they rejected them. They were afraid of what would happen when they attacked the Israelites. They were afraid that David and his men would begin to fight them on their side of the battle line. They were afraid of David, and they were wise to be afraid of him.